from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. I'm Marty Biron, and with me for the first half of the show, we have Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com. And Jordan, before I get to you, today is like a Saturday because, well, it's really Thursday, but it's a Saturday because yesterday was a Wednesday. It felt like a Friday because we had Shayna Goldman on and Duffer is off for the rest of the week. So, Jordan, you have the honor of being the first ever guest on a Saturday Sabres Live show. But it's not a Saturday, it's a Thursday. So that's really something to consider here.
I had no idea. That is an honor. I'm really excited. My actual Saturday is going to be spent by the pool. So two Saturdays in 1 week, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know what? That's pretty good. Today is a very nice day, and I hope people treat it like a Saturday because it's nice and not too hot. You can get a lot of things done. You can, you know, go for a long walk. It's going to be awesome. Also joining us on this Thursday, Saturday edition of Sabres Live will be Megan Chaika at 12:30. She's the co-founder, CEO of Statleets. You've seen her on TSN and ESPN, especially at the NHL entry draft, where she did a great job. So we want to talk a little bit about way too early award odds in the NHL, like who is leading the odds for the Rocket and the Vezina and the Jack Adams and the Norris and all of that. So we'll save that for later. But Jordan, with you, because today is July the 18th, and just 3 weeks ago was the draft and then was free agency and development camp. So I want to do a little bit of a recap as to, you know, how the draft went, what you thought about Sphere in Vegas and the picks, Konstantelainis and the rest of the Sabres draft pick for the 2024 NHL entry draft.
Yeah, Sphere, first of all, was incredible. I know you were there too, experienced it. I would love to go back there for a show. In terms
what
of the draft,
show? You know, like the question, like what kind of show? Like the Dead & Company or like you two? Like where do you fit on that spectrum?
Neither would be my good. So Adele is in Vegas, but she's not at the Sphere. I'd like to see Adele. Okay. Give me Adele at Sphere.
Okay, and Adele Sphere would be pretty good. Okay, so that's your taste, that's your speed. I get it. Okay, Sphere was awesome. What else?
Konstantelainis. I mean, he was one of those guys leading up to it in that group of four or five players that you really saw again and again. Mocked to the Sabres, not at 14, but at 11. And he happened to be. We said it was going to be an unpredictable draft. it was certain guys fell further than you thought, but he happened to be there when the Sabres picked. And the thing you hear about him is that you heard before and you've heard since is he may be pro ready sooner than some of the other players in the draft, based on the fact that he's already played pro hockey in Finland for as long as he has. And that was one of the things Kevin Adams said right after the draft is, you know, everything's on the table. You know, sometimes, you know, you might preach patience. And the fact that, you know, you left the door open for Constant to either play, whether it's in the AHL or the NHL, see what happens at camp. He could go back to Finland too. I think shows a lot about how highly he's regarded in terms of his pro readiness.
Hey, you know what? Last year was Zach Benson, and we saw Zach in development camp and prospect challenge and in training camp really take a step forward. Smaller guy, but just works so hard and never quits on pucks. I feel like Konstantin Lehnius is the same way. Not a big guy, but then, you know, at development camp, you saw the skills, you saw the agility, you saw the tenacity, the work ethic, like all of that came into play. So were you impressed by what Konstantin showed at the development camp just after being drafted in the first round by the Sabres?
Absolutely. It's a small sample size, but you saw those things you mentioned. And one is the competitiveness. You know, he might not be the biggest guy, but he's going to be able to play, you know, bigger than his size. And one of my biggest takeaways from the draft is I was able to go up after the first round and speak with Konstantin's brother, his older brother. And Konstantin, you know, growing up with an older brother, that's what kind of gave me my competitive edge. We competed at everything. He told me about a time when they were playing hockey in the basement. His older brother took a few stitches to the eye and I stick. So really getting to hear kind of firsthand about that competitiveness and kind of seeing it come to life on the ice was pretty cool.
Well, it was kind of funny because Konstantin and his family got on the plane on the way back from Vegas and flew back to Buffalo with us, right? And we weren't even off the ground in Vegas because we had to wait, you know, for some delays. And Konstantin was completely passed out sleeping and his older brother was laughing like, hey, look at him. The kid can't handle it, right? So, again, there's that brotherly competitive nature that they have. That's awesome. Okay, the draft was one thing. Then we moved right into free agency and trades because the Sabres later made a trade acquiring Ryan McLeod. But let's start with free agency. You've got, well, there was actually a trade at the draft too with Beck Malenstein. So you got Malenstein coming in, Sam Lafferty coming in, Jason Zucker coming in, Nicola Obey-Kubel coming in. So along with Ryan McLeod. So those five are all kind of slotted to be maybe bottom six, maybe fight one or two spots in the top six. We'll see. But how do you see those five additions replacing what really left for the Sabres? Because you look at no Zemgus Girgensons, no Kalaposo, no Casey Mittelstadt. That was the Bo Byron trade. No Tyson Jost, no Victor Olofsson. So it's basically a new five that comes in for an old five. How do you see the change in that look?
Yeah,
no, Jeff Skinner. That's another one I should have mentioned. Well,
And maybe you have Jason Zucker to kind of, you know, replace some of the goals you lose from Jeff Skinner. He's only a couple years removed from a 27 goal season. He's an accomplished scorer throughout his career, but he's kind of a bit of an outlier amongst the group, whereas he's kind of a more veteran offensive player. I know not, you know, purely offensive player, and the other guys, they have this edge to them. They have these peripheral skills that they're adding to the group. And obviously the one that sticks out that's been talked about at length is the physicality. You know, you have Malenstein and Obey-Kubel and Lafferty, all these guys, I think Kevin Adams pointed out, would have led the Sabres forwards in hits last year. These are guys who, you know, they hit hard. They're going to bring an edge to the Sabres forecheck, and they're going to bring an element that maybe wasn't totally there, not just last year, but really in quite some time with the Sabres team. So it's going to be interesting to watch how that develops. But maybe one element that hasn't been talked about as much is the speed that's kind of been added to the bottom of the lineup. You know, you hear this physicality and you might not think speed right away, but Ryan McLeod rates as one of the fastest players in the NHL. NHL Edge, these puck tracking statistics measure the player's top speed, one, the top speed they reach in the air, and then two, the amount of speed bursts, they call it, over 22 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So McLeod ranks in the 98th, 9th percentile in both these categories, but so does Beck Malinson. He ranks in the 97th percentile. So does Aubrey Cabell, who's in like the 95th, and Lafferty. Mm-hmm. So you're talking four guys who rate among the fastest players in the league, which hasn't quite been talked about as much as the physicality.
Yeah, I did talk about that with Duffer when all the signings and trades were happening, and I did bring up the NHL Edge statistics. And when you look at, you know, last season when I was watching the Sabres, and one of the critical point of where I felt they were missing, especially on offense, is I felt they were slow. I felt like they were playing slower than they did the year before. And a lot of that, it's not just about skating. It's not just about, hey, get the puck and skate fast. It's about moving the puck fast. It's about being open, about finding the open ice. Systems come into play, right? Like defensive zone coverage. And then can you turn that into a speed in transition and attack, scoring chances off the rush. Those are all things that, you know, I felt last season was really lacking when it came to the Sabres and their offensive game. But if you take Jost and you take Oposo and you take Mittelstadt and you take Olofsson, they were all in the below 50th percentile in speed burst and everything. And the fastest of the group, Skinner was in there as well. The fastest of the group was Zemgus Girgensons. And a lot of people are going to say, like, Zemgus is not fast anymore. Like, he had some speed early in his career, but he didn't have the same speed in his later years. So when you think that the fastest guy you lost is Zemgus Girgensons, and, you know, the slowest guy you acquired is Jason Zucker, who is as fast as Girgensons, if not more. So you definitely added a ton of speed in the lineup, which is great. Some signings, though, did happen, you know, this summer, like Quentin Byfield sign, and you're looking at others. So we've discussed Jack Quinn, J.J. Peterka. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to go to arbitration. Well, Toronto signed Joseph Woll to a three-year extension. Do you feel that, you know, some of those either Quinn Peterka extension, because they have one more year left, or Luukkonen arbitration, do you think that's going to be tough for the Sabres and the players to get that done? Or is it, hey, we've got some good comparables, and just like Thompson and Cousins and Dahlin and Power were done pretty easily, that will be the same thing for those three players?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because the picture, you know, people talk about the amount of cap space remaining. I know it sits somewhere around, was it 15 million right now, but it's a lot different than it was a couple of years ago when you didn't have Thompson and Power and Dahlin. It seemed like you had endless cap space. And now you're projecting to Quinn and Peterka, two guys who could, you know, earn quite a bit of money. And it gets a little tighter to allocate all the dollars. So of course that's going to make it more complicated than maybe it was previously, but you know, both those players are under club control for quite some time. You know, they would become RFAs after the year. So I believe Kevin Adams said he's not expecting early extensions. You know, it might go on to, you know, the later part of next year, but we'll see. And then Luukkonen, he's set for an arbitration date. Obviously, the team could still come to an agreement before then.
Yeah, and obviously, I loved going to arbitration. I went one time, and the first time I actually did not go through the whole process. We settled out of arbitration in the morning, but still getting the briefs and reading the stats and reading what they're going to say about you, I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. Like Jeremy Swayman last year with Boston, he said, I used it for motivation. Right? He saw some of the goalies that Boston compared Swayman to and was like, I'm way better than those guys, and I'm going to show it to you. So I feel like that could be a good motivational part of Luukkonen if they ever were to go to arbitration, to kind of get him going again this year the same way that he was in the second half last season. When you talk about first half, second half schedule, you had an article on Sabres.com. By the way, Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com with us here on Sabres Live. If you're listening on WGR 550 and you can't see him on MSG right now, he's got the nice thick beard and he's always nicely coiffed. So, Jordan, you're looking good this summer. But listen,
thank you.
You wrote something on Sabres.com about the schedule when it was released, some marquee dates. And I look at, obviously, the first game of the season, the LA Kings. Well, not the first game of the season, The home opener is October 12th. October 10th. Man, I'm messing that up. They do play two games in Prague against the Devils before that, but Friday, October 10th is, you know, against the LA Kings. And then a couple of days later, did I say Friday? I think it's Thursday, October 10th, right? And then Saturday, October 12th is the Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup champions, Florida Panthers come in. That's how it's going to start. But is there something with you that stands out when you look at the schedule, games that you got circled? I've got a bunch that I've already got circled and we can go through that. But Jordan, what are you looking at this year?
You know, and just quickly to add to the point about the first game, that's also going to be, it's got a new element this year with Lindy being back behind the bench. He'll have already coached those games in Europe with against his former team with the Devils. But how surreal will it be to see Lindy Ruff behind?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Sabres bench in Buffalo, that's going to be quite a cool scene.
How red will he be? Like, how, like, I know I want the Sabres to win, but I want to see a good Lindy Ruff outburst, yelling at the referees, throwing stuff down, taking his gum and throwing it on the ground. Like, I want to see something right away from Lindy.
Oh, that'd be amazing. And that would fire the place up. I feel like people's eyes will be on the bench as much as they'll be on the ice for at least the first little bit of that game, which would be, like I said, a little bit surreal, I'm sure, for a lot of the people in Buffalo. How about early December? 5-game homestand. I think it's the longest homestand of the season. Mm-hmm. And the Utah Hockey Club comes to Buffalo for the first time. That's always exciting.
Yeah, it's in the middle of that 5-game homestand. It's December 7th. Yep. Utah comes into Buffalo. That's circled on my calendar. Also, the day before and the day after Thanksgiving. This year, we're getting Thanksgiving hockey. We're not getting New Year's Eve hockey. The Sabres are on the road in Dallas, I think, on New Year's Eve and continue on to Colorado. But we are getting Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, and Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, both home games, which will be cool. December the 20th is Toronto and Buffalo, the first trip. But then, do you know when the second time Toronto comes in to Buffalo this year? It's April the 15th. It's the second last game of the year. Now, I can't wait until this Sabres team, and I'm an optimist, but I'm like in a playoff spot, 2 games left, Toronto comes into the building, and the Sabres fans are just playoff atmosphere right there. Like, I think that April 15th game and then April 17th against Philly would be just out of this world.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. Driving to the rink and with the spring in the springtime weather, you probably see some people outside, maybe a little tailgating. maybe tailgating from both sides of the board. That would be ideal.
That would be ideal. How about March the 20th, Jordan, as the Sabres go on for their first ever visit to Salt Lake City, Utah. They're going to play Utah Hockey Club in Utah on March the 20th. Something a little special for you, maybe getting on the road and getting to see Salt Lake City for the first time. Have you ever been there?
I have never been. Have you?
No, I've never been. I remember I hated Salt Lake City because 2002 Olympics, it was Quebec City and Salt Lake City that were in the running for the 2002 Olympics. And Quebec City, my hometown, we lost out to Salt Lake City. So I hated Salt Lake City since. Said, I'm not going there. But I think now I'm grown up and I'm past that. I want to see what Salt Lake City is all about. So I don't think we're going to go. We're going to do our part in studio, but you'll get to experience it.
Yeah, it's always special seeing any new building, but a new market. I got to experience that a few times now with Vegas and Seattle. We'll miss Arizona, though. It wasn't an ideal situation for the NHL or for really anyone involved playing at Arizona State, but it was a really unique atmosphere. And one of the cool things I'll always remember is where we were sitting for the press, you were kind of right in the crowd. You know, it's almost like Harbor Center where you're just above the seats at a little perch. And so many Sabres fans were there, just so many. And they'd stop and they'd talk to you. And that was a lot of fun. In fact, you recognize people. I think we made two visits there. Yeah. I recognize people from the year before and remember the conversations we had. So I will miss that. But definitely in terms of road games, probably that visit to Utah will be the number one I have circled.
Yeah, Utah is going to be cool. Yeah, I haven't. Well, unfortunately, now I won't have a chance to see an NHL game at the Mullet Arena because that's not going to happen. Maybe I'll see a college hockey game there with Arizona State. Who knows? I haven't been to the Mullet Arena. I haven't been to Seattle yet. I'm hoping I get to do that in the next little bit. And then Utah, I'm hoping that we get to travel at some point and I get to go down to Utah for a hockey game. So that happens on March 20th. If there's some Sabres fans that want to go to Utah and see the first ever Sabres game against the Utah Hockey Club, that's happening on March 20th. And I'm surprised. Well, I'm kind of curious to see if there's going to be a lot of Sabres fans from that area because there's Sabres fans in Arizona. You mentioned in Vegas, in Colorado, in Dallas, in Anaheim, LA, there's Sabres fans everywhere, but Utah, I don't know if there's a lot of Sabres fans in and around the area. So it'll be interesting to see how many show up and how many either black and red goat head or blue and gold, jerseys we see in the crowd.
Yeah. Maybe a future road crew destination. Maybe we should put that into the air. Yeah.
We just had Rich Dreller on Tuesday because it was Give 716 Day. And we asked to have about seven road crew parties. And he said, that's going to be a lot and too much. So we're going to start with one. We did one in Tampa last year. It was awesome. We've done Carolina. We've done Vegas. We've done Nashville, New York. We've done so many Washington. We've done so many. Maybe we got to go out west now and do one over there. Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com, joining us here for another 5-7 minutes. And then Megan Chaika will join us, co-founder and CEO of StatLeets at the bottom of the hour. But one thing we're going to talk about with Megan Chaika is the way too early odds for some of the trophies at the end of next season. So the Rocket Richard and the Norris and the Vezina, the Jack Adams, which is the best coach in the National Hockey League, the Selke, best defensive forward. And I feel like we could find Sabres that could be, competing for some of these awards. And the first thing I looked at is the Rocket Richard. I know Austin Matthews is probably the best goal scorer in the game right now. But Tage Thompson scored 47 goals 2 years ago. And this past year, he had, 29, but had a busted hand for a big part of the year and still almost got to 30. And I look at the odds. Tage is tied for 18th at plus 10,000 when you look at the odds. Austin Matthews is number one at minus 115. Do you feel like that's a little disrespect for Tage Thompson to be as far as 18th on the list right now when you look at the Rocket Richard trophy odds for next season?
I do. I mean, it speaks to his year last year, but as we know, he was battling things and he still got to 30. Remember that you said he scored 47 goals a couple of years ago, but that the pace he was on the first half of that season, if he could achieve that for even three quarters of a season, you're talking 50 plus goals. So I was surprised. Actually, the list I saw that I was looking at earlier was they only had the top 15. And I was surprised that he wasn't in there. Yeah. And that explains that he was 18.
Yeah, no. And obviously, anybody that knows and that has dabbled into, sports betting, shop your odds. I mean, this is kind of like something that we're seeing, but every site has different odds. And if there's somebody that you like or someone that you feel you could get an edge by, getting better odds somewhere else, definitely shop your mm-hmm. odds. One that is interesting for me is the Norris Trophy with Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah. I feel like a lot of it is points and power play and goals, and Dahlin can put up a lot of points, and if the power play gets back to where it was 2 years ago, Thompson will score more, Dahlin will get more points, but Dahlin is ninth on the list behind guys like McCarr and Fox and Hughes, and I can see that Roman Josi, but Noah Dobson is seventh with the New York Islanders, and Dahlin is tied with Josh Morrissey actually at plus 2,000. What's your comfort level when it comes to Rasmus Dahlin and being in the top three, maybe for the Norse?
Yeah, you know what? That would be my bet. I'm a strong believer that Rasmus Dahlin is going to win a Norris at some point. And, before we started the show, we were talking a little bit about the Jack Adams Award and how team success, especially would get probably Lindy in that conversation if the Sabres were able to make the playoffs. I think it's similar with Dahlin. I think team success combined with maybe a revamped power play. Look at 2 years ago, Rasmus Dahlin, I wrote 60, his 55, first 55 games. He got injured after that and kind of had a little bit of a drought. But those first 55 games, it's almost two-thirds of the year. He had 62 points. That's a 92-point pace. And that whole year, he was tracking like he would be a Norris candidate. And a lot of that had to do with the his assist totals from the power play. So a revamped power play could. But I feel like if he gets those offensive numbers back, which he's completely capable of, and if he's in a position where the Sabres are around the playoff race, people will start to see the other things. He's towards the top of the league in ice time every single year. He leads the Sabres in block shots. He, leads the Sabres in hits. He does it all. And I feel like people will notice that more if the production gets back up to that pace that he had a couple of years ago and if he's on a winning team.
Do you like Dahlin with power better, or do you like Dahlin with Joki Aho or Bo Byram? Because I feel like that's your top four. And Matthias Samuelsson now, healthy. I think Sammy will probably be more slotted as a third pair defenseman with Connor Clifton. And then that leaves you power, Dahlin, Byram, and Joki Aho as your top four. But who do you like for a partner for Rasmus Dahlin that gives him the best chance to be, a Norris candidate, like a top three guys at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder how much they play it situationally, even within games like Don Granato would, where he, maybe put him with power late in the game if they need a goal. And I like Dahlin and Samuelsson. I thought they complemented each other really well. Obviously, the addition of Bowen Byram changes that a little bit because now you have another dynamic guy who you probably want playing top 4 minutes. When Byram got here and those two were playing alongside each other, it was cool to see the way they were reading off each other. I would like to see more of that. Mm-hmm. I think with a new coach, you'll probably see a little bit of everything. You'll probably trial and error, right? Until they, establish one.
I feel like Joki Aho really played so much better in the second half. So you can maybe have more of that flexibility now because it's not just, let's have Dahlin with power or let's have Dahlin with Samuelsson. I think the lefty-lefty is something that we've discussed, right? Because power's a left-handed shot. Dahlin's a left-handed shot. Samuelsson's a left-handed shot. The only two right-handed shots are Joki Aho and Connor Clifton. But I feel like there's more flexibility there. So obviously something to keep an eye on. And last for you, Jordan, before we got to take a short break here, there's three awards that have odds out right now for the Vezina Trophy, which is the best goaltender, the Jack Adams Award, which is the best coach in the National Hockey League, and the Selke Trophy, which is the best defensive forward. No Sabres factor on any of those odds or early odds right now. If you had to pick one trophy where maybe a Sabres could sneak in there, which one is your favorite trophy? And which, I think when you name the trophy, we'll know you're talking about. But which one's your favorite trophy to see a Sabres sneak up and maybe be a candidate at the end of the year?
I think I'd have to go Vezina Trophy. And, you know, it's tough because you got two young goaltenders who haven't completely established full seasons. But if you splice last year in half and just go January on, it's Ukko Pekka Luukkonen maybe will be a top three Vezina guy. Like, he's not quite at the level of Hellebuyck in that time frame, but he's top 5-6 in almost every other stat, towards the top of the league in wins for an entire half a year. So if he extends that for a full year, who knows?
Who knows? And I think that just saying his name would be a lot of fun, you know, down the stretch, which means the Sabres would be good, means Luukkonen would be good, means everybody would be happy. So that would be exciting. Jordan, I thank you for joining us on this Saturday, Thursday edition of Sabres Live. I hope you have a great poolside fun on Saturday. Maybe I'll just keep pinging your phone with like text message and see if you're really at the pool or not. But and we'll see you out in the office. But in the meantime, let's remind everybody that on July 27th there will be an open house, so you can check out the available full, half, and quarter season seat locations. You can learn more about member benefits and exclusive perks. Check out unique merchandise and game use equipment for purchase while supply lasts right now. That's just been released last week. Game used equipment. You want to go see sticks and skates and gloves and pants and everything, you can go and check that out. That will be July 27th, open house at KeyBank Center from 12 to 3 p.m. So we'll see you there. And we'll also see you on the way back after this commercial with Megan Chaika, co-founder and CEO of Statleets, also of TSN and ESPN. We'll be back in a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.